Rumbold, why aren't you out in the playground with the others? What are you doing here in the classroom?
Nothing, sir. Honest, I'm not doing nothing.
What's that you're hiding behind your back? Are you smoking, boy? Is that a cigarette?
Yes, sir.
Oh, give us a drag. There's a good lad. I'm not going to stay.
Ladies and gentlemen, we present Kenneth Williams, Hugh Paddock, and Joan Sims in...
It's Thomas Novell. Welcome. Well, they couldn't think of anything funny for me to start off with this week, so they said, you go on there and pull something out of the blue, you know, yeah, off the top of your head. Well, it's not easy, you know, even for a raconteur and wit like myself.
Hello, Ken.
Hello, Ken.
Oh, hello, it's the lovebirds.
Oh, Joan, I do love you terribly.
I know, but I'm sure you'll improve with practice.
They go again, they mean it, you know, it's not acting.
Oh, Hugh, I love every little thing about you.
I know, darling, but there's no need to tell everyone about it.
So, where are you going to celebrate this momentous occasion?
Tonight's our night for the evening classes.
Yes, I'm studying sculpture. I'm halfway through one now.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, it's a bust.
Is that all? Just a bust? No head and shoulders, the rest of the body?
A bust is the head and shoulders.
If I were you, I'd give up sculpture. Take up anatomy.
I'm doing watercolours. Well, last term I painted a picture of a male nude.
With a live model?
Yes.
Really? How big was it?
Standard canvas. 15 by 20.
Fascinating.
Here, this model. Here. Did he really pose with nothing on at all?
Yes, Mr. Williams. As a matter of fact, I did.
Oh! Douglas. It wasn't you.
Well, it's 7 and 6 an hour and I need the money. Oh. I'm grossly underpaid for the superlative services I render the corporation. I work my epiglottis.
Oh, ease off. I'll shut up and make an announcement.
Both together.
Oh,
this week, Crackerjack and Ollie with Mother takes a trip up the Rhine. And so, with her Michelin guide in one hand and a large liver sausage in the other, here is Fräulein Maut von Nethersall.
Guten Tag, meinen kleinen und meinen großen auch. Which means, of course, good day, my smalls and my enormouses as well. No, isn't German fun? Today's story is an old Teutonic myth, which I heard from an old Teutonic mythar. Yes. There was once a Valkyrie called Edith, who often forgot to warm her breastplate before she put it on. So when the other Valkyries sang, ho, ha, ho, Edith sang, ho, ha, ho. Yes, which is why she was banished from Valhalla and given a fortnight's wages in lieu, which she wrapped in a copy of the Dusseldorf Gazette, which happened to be hanging on the wall. Well, after wandering for a while, she met a gnome who was called Rumpeltightskin, for reasons I'd rather not go into. It turned out he was one of the gnomes of Zurich, but he'd had to leave home because his gilt edge was below par and his debentures had suddenly dropped. However, when he saw the size of Edith's collateral, he said he had a very interesting proposition to put to her. And he said,
can you say you want to see your money in your body in front of you?
Certainly not, replied Edith, who was worried about inflation and didn't want to get caught in the credit squeeze. But the gnome offered such a high rate of interest that in the end she agreed. And then, what do you think? The gnome turned her into a limited company, which doubled her turnover in no time. Next week, Tinies, I'll be telling you how her Deutschmark was devalued and why. But meanwhile, our song.
Here's one from the Bavarian border, which they sing while treading the grapes, to try and take their minds off the pips between their toes. Oh, Alphonse loves Liesel, but Liesel loves Fritz. But Fritz says that Lottie just thrills him to bits. But Lottie has told me that she loves Alphonse, so nobody's getting what everyone wants. If Alphonse loved Lottie and Fritz could begin to try to love Liesel like Liesel loves him, then they'd all discover that everything fits for Lottie and Alphonse and Liesel and Fritz. So I put it to Lottie, 'cause I knew she'd tell Alphonse who'd tell Liesel who'd tell Fritz as well. Idea. But mind your own business and don't interfere.
Statistics tell us that remarkably few lodgers are actually called Roger. If you don't know why, far be it from me to tell you. But obviously, if you take a stranger into your home, he may be stranger than you thought. Consider the case of Sid and Rita Dipfinger.
Sid, I'm a bit worried about our new lodger, dear. He keeps getting these letters addressed to Mr. Hyde, care of Dr. Jekyll. I hope he's not ambidextrous, dear.
No, Rita, though I haven't noticed he's got two different toothbrushes.
Oh, and when I went up to his room just now, he said, "You can't come in because I'm changing." Then I heard these funny noises, Sid.
Funny noises, really? Kind of funny noises.
Every breathing, dear.
Oh, not already, Rita. He's only been here 2 days. Well, you should never have given him that meat rissole.
Well, then he rushes onto the landing all covered in air and sprouting a couple of fangs there.
Fangs, Rita?
Yes, one on each side of his face.
Oh, well, that would account for the two toothbrushes. One for each fang, I think.
Yes, then he gives a agonized cry and he's out through the front door without even bothering to open it.
Oh, no, Rita, that rissole of yours has got a lot to answer for. They have that effect on me sometimes.
Well, I think there's something funny about him. I can't actually put my finger on it.
Oh, better not try, Rita. We did that with the last lodger and look what happened. Behind with the rent and forward with everything else. Always turn the sound off.
Oh, no, but seriously, if you ask me, our lodger is leading a double life, Sid, and it's only a single room. He'll have to go.
He seems a nice enough fella. Well, one of them does.
I can't help that, Sid. You'll have to give him notice.
But why, Rita?
Well, I found out he dyes his hair.
Oh. It's time to meet our problem man of the week.
My name is Clarence J. Mouse, partner. Though I prefer to remain anonymous.
I don't blame you.
I haven't finished. Though I prefer to remain anonymous, I feel it is my duty to reveal my identity so that others with the same problem will take heart.
I think that's very courageous of you.
So do I. You see, I'm one of those poor unfortunates who have a... have a Brussels sprout problem. I've said it.
Yes, you have. I wonder what it means.
It means that for years I've had this awful craving for Brussels sprouts. First I kept it down to 3 a day, one after each meal. For the sake of my loved ones, you understand?
Of course.
But then I began wanting more. The nights were the worst. I've often had to tramp the streets looking for an all-night greengrocer.
Did you ever find one?
I didn't know. So I used to keep a half pound hidden away in the wardrobe. It was then that my lady wife discovered my guilty secret.
I'm not surprised.
Yes. We had a plague of caterpillars in the bedroom. So I said to myself, Clarence Jay, I said, where is your self-respect? Where is your Dunkirk spirit?
Oh, were you at Dunkirk?
No, but I saw the film. And then I struck myself a blow across the face to pull myself together, you understand. Matter of fact, I knocked myself over. I wasn't expecting it, you see.
Of course not, yes.
No. And then I made my big decision.
Oh, good.
Yes, I started taking lessons in judo so I'd be able to protect myself from myself. And I had to give up Brussels sprouts because they ruin your wind.
So I've heard. Well, I'm sure your story will give new hope to all our listeners.
I do hope so.
Especially those living in Brussels.
Yes. The trouble is, now I've got another little problem.
What's that?
Well, you don't happen to have a cauliflower on you, do you?
Which brings us to our song spot. And to those who like their music cool, smooth and smoochy, I can only say, hard luck. Because it's time to meet the maxi-length Harris male voice choir.
It's Bona to open up your ear and sing.
It's Bona to hear the Omi voices ring.
I tell all lovers of male voice choirs that me and my friend are available for banquets, aren't we?
Banquets, yes, available. Yes.
Available,
yes. But of course we charge extra if we have to do the washing up after.
Certainly, Ducky. Oh, I mean, who wants an Omi with dishpan and...
Yes. Who indeed?
That roughens it, didn't it, though?
Indescribable. I mean, that function we'd done last week played havoc with me cuticles.
Yes, wasn't only your cuticles it played havoc with, was it?
No. Mm. Buffon went for a Burton as well.
Now tell him for why.
No, I can't.
Go on, tell him for why. Tell him.
Don't
tell him.
Stop me.
Tell him.
No.
Tell him what you did at the annual dinner of the Crouch End Allotment Holders Association. Go on. Tell him. Get it out. Get it out.
Oh, all right. Well, see, I offered to lend him a hand with a flower arrangement, you see.
That's lovely flower
arrangement. Oh, a bona.
Lovely. Learned how to do it in the army, didn't you?
Yes, I did. I learned it from this fella in the paratrooper.
Never mind him.
Why not?
Never mind, don't bring him up.
Why?
Not the time, not the place. Now then, tell him what it was you went and shoved in all the allotment holders' cut glass vases.
Oh, I can't.
Tell him what you shoved in their vases. Oh, tell him what you shoved in their vases.
No.
It was the first course of their dinner, wasn't it?
Well, how was I to know it was asparagus?
Oh! You rake custard!
Oh, my name's...
You custard showing me up before the cream of the Crouch End International set. I just wanted the ground to swallow me up.
Well, I expect that could be arranged.
Meet Miss Merriam Bright. The undertaker's auntie.
But before you leave us, what are you going to sing?
Well, Chuck. We were thinking of taking a little liberty with Offenbach.
Your great Nana Offenbach.
Bach.
Bach.
Oh, yes, that's Dutch, isn't it? Yes.
Yeah, so which bit of Offenbach were you thinking of taking a liberty with?
Is can-can, Chuck.
Oh, well, if the French say them as can-can and them as can't, we'll just have to make the best of it.
He's quick with it, isn't he? Quick as a flash.
Offenbach would often park his bicycle outside our gate so that no one could get through it, though we asked him not to do it. So one evening after dark, when Offenbach was rather late, we let down the tyres on the bike of Offenbach. Then we waited down the road, he gaily trips, all elated, putting on his cycle clips. Give the cough and fit without the slightest fuss.
Kickers.
Who won't split their knickers? Here's to homies who can.
Can.
Now it's time for the Smith Report. Later in this edition, we'll be discussing hovercrafts. Are they all planes sailing? Which brings us to this week's main topic. The Smith Report investigates marriage, recently defined as a mutual partnership in which the husband is the mute. What does the man in the street have to say?
Well, I've been told that the best kind of girl to marry is a Japanese girl. They're obedient, respectful, hard-working, and your mother-in-law's in Yokohama.
I'm still single because I read in a book once that people with opposite characteristics make the best marriages.
Really?
Yes, so I'm still looking for a man with a lot of money.
But what are the views of an expert?
As a divorce court judge, I find that modern young women are the main cause of broken marriages. Who can blame a chap for going off the rails when he sees all these mini-skirted, full-bosomed, lithe-bodied young girls flashing their thighs in the summer sunshine? And it's getting worse. These days they're wearing see-through blouses. I asked you, see-through blouses. If I had my way, I'd get rid of them altogether.
The idea of marriage is instilled into us at a very early age. In fact, many children's games are based on this concept.
Georgie, let's play mothers and fathers.
Play what?
Mothers and fathers.
That's a soppy game.
Not the way I play it.
To investigate a very important aspect of married life, over to our roving reporter, Fife McFinger Exercise, in an abridged version of Down Your Family Way.
Hello, I'm standing here outside a family planning clinic at Hampton Court in Middlesex. And as I enter the clinic through this door, I notice above it the cautionary motto of the organization, "There's one born every minute." And standing here now inside, I'm being approached by a young lady carrying a small bundle. Can I help you, madam?
I'm looking for the complaints department.
I see. Well, before piece of music you'd like to hear.
Yes, I should have danced all night.
I'm now standing in the office of the director of the clinic. Now tell me, sir, why do you think family planning is so important?
Well, as you probably know, statistics tell us that in this country, a woman gives birth every 3.5 minutes.
Well, surely the answer is to find this woman and stop her. Now, tell me, madam, are all these children yours?
That they are, yes, indeed. All 9 of them.
Oh, 9?
I had 4 by my first husband, 2 by my second husband, and 3 on my own.
One of the problems faced by parents is the generation gap. To try and bridge this gap, we present an excerpt from an arts program in which young people communicate with other young people in a language they understand.
Now, cop this, right? I'm going to give you a poetry reading, right? I've, like, translated this load of old cobblers, what this old git writ down, into the lingo like what you and me talk normal, right? So undo your collar studs, loosen your braces, and settle down for a bit of your actual classics. There was an old woman what lived in a bother boot. She had so many little baskets running round the place. Well, it stands to reason she must have known what to do, mustn't she? Anyhow, this stupid old bat, she gives the kids a nosh-up, don't she? I mean, like, gives them some broth, all right? But she's so mean, she don't give them no bread. I mean, nothing to mop the plate up with, like, harder. And if that ain't enough, what's she going to do then, eh? I tell you what she does then. She gives them a bit of the old aggro, like, puts a boot in, sends her to bed. And that's it.
The wedding night has always been a rich source of material for humorists, but is the traditional honeymoon sketch still valid in the 1970s?
Oh, here we are then, Mrs. Elsie Cutthorpe. Our little honeymoon haven.
Oh, Albert, it's a lovely room.
Well then, what were you going to do tonight?
Well, I thought we'd, you know, well, you know, like, you know.
But we did that this morning. Nothing through that I haven't seen before.
Oh, come on, Albert.
Oh.
Come and lay on the bed here beside me. Oh, that's nice, isn't it? I thought it was a lovely wedding with the confetti and everything. Tell me you love me, Albert. Go on, Albert. Tell me. Go on, Albert, say something.
Right, that does it!
What was the matter? Where are you going?
I'm going to do something that I've wanted to do many times, but as we weren't married, I couldn't.
Oh, what's that then?
I'm going home to Mother!
That was Stop Messing About with Kenneth Williams, Hugh Paddick, Joan Sims, and the Max Harris Group. The script was by Miles Rudge and David Cumming and Derek Collier. The producer was John Simmons.